notes together here. I'd like everybody to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. All right. We're going to look a little bit at seeking God this morning. This is a topic I circle back to a lot in my own personal life. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please him. And this is referring to God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Some version says they must believe that he exists, and that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I love verses like this because he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I think it's very simply this way. Has anyone ever lost their car keys? Anyone? I think probably all of us at some point, right? And you've ever diligently sought your car keys? What's the reward of diligently seeking your car keys? That you find them. That's a reward. That's reward enough, right? Because it's what you're looking for. We're instructed that those who come to God must first believe that he exists, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And in the seeking, there is finding. And in the finding, there's life. And there's no other life but the life that he gives us through his Son. Go to Matthew 7. In the pursuit of knowing God and learning more of him and knowing him better, verses like this are so encouraging to his people. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And just think about what this is saying. It's so encouraging. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? That's a great question. It's kind of a rhetorical question. Well, of course he will. He's our Father in heaven. And this is coming off of an amazing context in Matthew chapter 6 that many of you know, which is we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things of life come after that. You see? And then this word says here that we ask and it'll be given. We seek, we'll find. You know, and I just, my hope this morning is to just encourage all of us. You know, light, fan the flames to seek him. You know, and we are in this room, a lot of us know a lot of God's word, and it's amazing. It's amazing to know his word, but I want to encourage us to have that burning desire inside of us to be seeking God, to be seeking after him, to desire him. And in the seeking, there will be finding, because God's word says that you will find him. That's awesome. I don't know about you. I think it says somewhere it's going to take the ages to come for him to display his grace toward us in Christ Jesus. The ages to come. So I'm pretty sure that the seeking of him here is pretty inexhaustible. If it's going to take eternity for him to reveal how gracious he's been toward us in Christ Jesus. Go to Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 29. It says in verse 29, it says, "And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." I love that but rather. Instead of seeking what the world is seeking, you seek the kingdom of God. And all that other stuff, that gets taken care of. There's a place in the Word that says that he already knows what you have need of before you even ask. You know? And half the time we don't even know what we have need of. But I'm pretty sure God does. So let's seek him. Yeah? Look at this. Verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And some of us are familiar. This is, as I understand, Easternism, and the concept of treasure is where your thoughts are. There will your heart be also. But I love even in the context of what it's saying. What are all the nations and the kingdoms of the world seeking after? They're seeking after the things of the world, right? Clothing and food and, you know, housing and all the stuff, that's their main focus. It's kind of an animalistic focus, if you will, that every animal on earth is looking for food and clothing and housing, right? But we, as God's children, created in his image, are to be seeking him and let him provide that other stuff. Pretty awesome. And so where is my treasure? It's not in the things that I own. It's not in the things that I could own if I worked hard enough. Our treasure is going to be found in God and in seeking him first. I love this. Verse 35 says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching." Isn't that cool? I love that. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching." It compares it to the concept of waiting for the Lord to come, the Lord of the house to come back. And the servants that are awake and watching, that's a blessed thing. I think, gosh, when the Lord returns, I want to be one that's seeking him. You know, like Pete was teaching last week, and even those that are asleep are going to be with him, thankfully. Praise God, his grace is big. But I want to be one of those that's sober and awake and is seeking God with my whole heart when the Lord comes back. Pretty awesome. Let's go to Luke 19, please. This is a fun little record. Luke 19. We could have sung the children's song about Zacchaeus today. It was in my mind all day. I was humming it to myself. Verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Publicans were looked down on in this culture, by the way, you know. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." He's a short guy, and he couldn't see Jesus because there was too many people. Verse 4, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully," he received the Lord joyfully. "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And I love that statement, especially in verse 10 here. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And I love, because in this context, Zacchaeus is actually seeking out the Lord Jesus Christ, which is kind of cool, right? He's looking to seek Jesus Christ. But here at the end, Jesus Christ says, "I came to seek the lost." Pretty awesome. We're looking on Thursday, we're looking at Romans, starting to go through Romans, but in Romans 3, it talks about, in that section where it quotes a bunch of the Psalms, it says there's none that seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. And that is the state of man without God, and without God having sent a Savior. It's pretty amazing that God has even made a way for us even to seek him. You know, this, you start to realize that this is all by his grace. I'm thankful that my heart seeks God, but you know what? I'm thankful to God that he even worked in me to seek him. And you read his word, and his word works in your heart, and you're like, yes, this is what I want. I want to seek God. But God was the one that wrote it, gave us his word. And he works in us by way of his spirit to seek him. Some of the prayers we're going to look at, actually, we'll do it right now. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep your precepts diligently." And then look at verse 5. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Isn't that sweet? It's a prayer. Oh, you know, the psalmist recognizes that those who seek God are blessed, that those who go to his word are blessed. He also recognizes that the commandment is that we would obey all of his word. And then the response of his heart is, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." God, direct me to keep your statutes. Work in me to do this thing. You know, I mean, how many of us have ever found ourselves tired? You know, where, yeah, I know I'm supposed to seek God. You know, and I know there's joy in seeking God. I know that, but I'm physically worn out, or I'm mentally worn out. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't feel like it. You know, and moments like that is when I'm saying, "Father, I don't feel like seeking you, but I do want to seek you." I'll start there. I know it's what's best for me. I know it's what you want for me. You know, start there. You know, I think earlier on in my Christian life, I spent a lot of time, you know, my internal dialogue. Oh, Jim, you really should pray more. Jim, you really should read God's word more. Jim, you really should dot, 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 whatever it is. None of these things were bad things. All of them are things that we're blessed in doing. But my prayers have turned a lot more towards, Father, help. Help me be in your word more. Help me seek you more. Open my eyes that I can see so that I can seek you. Because I know it's what's best with my mind, but my heart isn't always in it. But God is able to work in you. And if you seek him, he'll be found. You know, diligently. We're instructed to seek him diligently. That's awesome. That's called grace. That's called walking in his grace and by his spirit. Because who knows, your flesh isn't too capable of doing this stuff. Colossians chapter 3. Boy, and talk about a prayer according to God's word. You know, when we look at things like Romans 12 and it says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, you know, sure, it takes some diligence on my part to go to God's word, to believe his word. Absolutely. But I'll tell you, transformation takes place when that's done with God's help and seeking him. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And again, if you then be risen with Christ, begs the question, are you risen with Christ? And if Christ is in you, you're risen with Christ. You're a Christian. If you then be risen with Christ, which all of us in this room are, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And look at this, verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What a statement. I love this word, affection. You could look it up in the Greek and see, you know, the nuances of it. But I think affection is a pretty good way to describe it. It's your feelings, it's your thoughts. The things I have affection for are the things I think about. Are they not? I have affection for my wife. I think about her a lot. And my kids. And all you folks. Well, we set our affection on things above. Not on things of the earth. You know, one of the things that blessed me in looking up the word seek, I was seeking the word seek this morning. And in Chronicles particularly, it comes up a couple times where it talks about individual kings. One place where it shows up is where David is giving instruction to his son Solomon in how to lead the kingdom. And he instructs him to set his heart to seek God. And I love that. Actually kind of really impacted me. I thought, wow, there's a setting of a heart to seek God. There's another verse in Colossians 12 that says that he did evil because he, not referring to Solomon, a different king, Rehoboam, but it says he did evil because he didn't set his heart to seek God. Isn't that wild? And, you know, some of these kings that did set their heart to seek God, they didn't do everything perfect, but their heart was set to seek God. You know, it's pretty awesome. And we have that opportunity to do that. I'm going to set my heart to seek God. I'm going to seek him in everything. Just in everything. That's what I want to do. I don't know the answers. He knows the answers. And I know we have the hope that he will answer us. That when we seek him, we'll find him. In all of life. In everything that we need. I thought about rejoicing in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Right? Because no matter how bad it gets out there sometimes in life, you're never going to be far from God. He will always be there. He promises us that. That's our confidence. That's where we get our rock to stand on. go to Psalm 27. Please. Psalm 27, the Psalm of David, a man after God's own heart. David certainly didn't always get it right, but I'll tell you what, he sought God. He sought the Lord his God. And we're just going to read it, I think, here. It says here, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though hosts should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Isn't that cool? Look at this verbiage, what he's saying here. Yeah. And I don't think he's talking about hypothetical hosts encamping against him. You know, knowing David, he was at war an awful lot. But think about that. This is what he's speaking, obviously by the Spirit of God working in him. "When the wicked, even my enemies," verse 2, "and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." That's the setting of his heart to seek God. "Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." This is the one thing that he sought after amidst all the things of life. And that was that he could dwell in the temple of the Lord, that his eyes would be on God's beauty, and that his heart would seek God. Isn't that cool? Despite all the stuff going on all around. "From the time of trouble," verse 5, "he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle," or in this tent, he's referring to his body, "sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Isn't that beautiful? "When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." And boy, haven't we seen how he's said, seek me first. Boy, and that's what that response of our heart can be. Okay, you Lord will I seek. I'm going to seek after you. And you know what? When I find myself struggling with that, with anxieties and cares of the world or whatever else, that's when a little red flag pops up and I say, oh, time to seek God. And sometimes I need help seeking God. And who better to help you to seek him than him? Right? Is the only way, actually, that your heart will stay consistent in seeking him is to seek him for the help to seek him. "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not your servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Praise God, he hasn't and won't. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies." Isn't that cool? Look at that heart once again. It's teach me your way, O Lord. You teach me your way. You lead me in the plain path. Verse 12, "Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What an encouraging psalm. Again, waiting on the Lord. I always have a mind picture of just someone, just eyes on the Lord, just waiting on him. Waiting on him to say, go, or come, or see this, see that, you know, whatever it is. Your eyes are just on him. You know, and life is happening all the time. You know, I don't know where you go to work or school, or you're taking care of your kids or whatever it is. There's nothing separate from that seeking of him and allowing him to direct your steps. And he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I think we'll just end there. So, that's it. Love you guys.
Love you.
Yeah.